bullshit, and we're going to tell you about new book releases and events happening in store and online. I'm your host, Becca.
And I'm Gary.
And boy, do we got a lot for you today.
Yo, no one's going to hear the first, like, 10 minutes of what we just talked about.
I thought you would put it at the end, no?
I might. Aren't we doing... Wait. We need to talk... Okay. We need to talk about the Patreon. Should we do this at the top? We have had a discussion about doing, like, exclusive Patreon stuff with the podcast and doing, like, bloopers and outcasts and things, which means I think I'm going to, like, cut all the pre-show stuff and start using it for the Patreon.
Okay.
I could put, you know, we could do every couple weeks, I could cut whatever the pre-show is before each minisode and episode and, like, use it that way.
I feel like this is going to create the most, like, chaotic, incoherent Mod Podge episode for the patrons. Like, they'll just sit there going, like, what the hell is this?
Well, so that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do is let people know, like, hey, this is the stuff that gets cut from episodes.
Hey, guys, welcome to the Patreon exclusive episode. It sounds like the inside of my head when I forget to take my Adderall.
So, I will expound on this a little tiny bit. I am a huge fan of a podcast called Friends at the Table, which is an actual play podcast doing, like, you know, doing tabletop RPG stuff, and they play a bunch of indie games, and one of the things that they do on their Patreon is called the Clapcast, and it is essentially all the cut material that happens before they do the, like, let's all clap to sync our recordings.
That's so amazing.
And what they do is they just have, like, a little music cue between stuff that got cut from different episodes. And it's just, here's a hodgepodge of miscellaneous conversations that we've had that aren't related to episodes we're recording, just like, here's us having a good time. Here are the conversations that you don't hear.
You know what's weird? Do you ever, like, hear something and, like, you immediately, like, have a word association that just always pops up for you?
Sometimes. What is in your head right now?
Every time I or anyone else says hodgepodge, I think I, like, see John Hodgman's face, like, in my head.
I love John Hodgman so much, so I am down for this.
Yes, absolutely.
The John Hodgepodge.
We're gonna get sued now.
I hope not. I think you would find that funny. If we got sued by John Hodgman...
Now that's a party story.
Yeah, come on now. He, like... Doesn't he do a litigation podcast?
Yeah, that's literally, like, Judge John Hodgman. Hey, yeah. Somebody contact Judge John Hodgman so we can do a crossover episode where he pretends to sue us.
We should do the actual Mysterious Mini podcast now.
Alright, so... Let's just jump right into events.
Yeah, let's just jump right into events. So it is, what is today? Today is September the 15th, and we have a whole bunch of events to talk about. We had, like, a secret event that got announced last week, moved dates, and still happened before this episode aired.
It's amazing how time works.
Yeah, Liz Braswell, due to weird, like, schedule shenanigans, it's hard to do stuff. Liz Braswell, we found out after Tuesday's episode aired, was supposed to record with us on Wednesday last week.
Oh!
And do a live event last week on Wednesday. Didn't work out. We heard from their publisher a little bit too late, so we pushed it back, which meant it happened yesterday, Monday, instead of last Wednesday. So we didn't talk about it last week, but it still happened last week. So by the time people hear this, that event has already happened, but it should be on our YouTube. So folks can check that out on our YouTube. And then you can stay tuned for all of our other stuff this week.
Yeah.
Becca, what's tonight?
Tonight at, oh gosh, what time? 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have Lee Child in conversation with Lauren Sanders and Jonathan Ames about his new book. Would you call this an anthology?
I would call this an anthology, yes.
Okay. The word anthology always, like, squicks me out. I always get super anxious about it. I don't know why. Anyways, it's called The Nicotine Chronicles. It is 16 short stories written by different authors spanning different genres and time periods, all about the existence that is smoking. I just want to read really quick. It's from the introduction that Lee Child does for the book. Food scientists have discovered a complex compound naturally present in, among other things, potatoes, tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants. The compound offers us a number of benefits. It improves our fine motor skills. It increases our attention spans. It improves our cognitive abilities. It improves our long and short-term memories. It lessens depression in and of itself. It has no real downside. It's called nicotine. We should all get some.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, actually. There's a real... I mean, literally, it goes on. The problem is the delivery system, right?
Yeah.
Like, nicotine, this helpful, this seemingly helpful compound that actually turns out to be really bad for us. Is this a mystery? I mean, it's Lee Child. It's got to be a mystery anthology, right?
I don't think so. I think that all of the stories are not necessarily within the same spheres of one another.
It's just tied to,
like, yeah, they're all about nicotine.
See, the thing, just from, like, the cover and knowing Lee Child, the thing I think of is, like, the private detective in the dark alley smoking a cigarette.
I mean, I'm sure that will be in there. I can't imagine.
I'm sure. If it's not, I'll write Lee Child and be like, yo.
Just a little background. Obviously, a lot of us know Lee Child, but if you don't, he is a New York Times number one bestseller of the Jack Reacher series. Lauren Sanders has written Kamikaze Lust. It won a Lambda Literary Award. And Jonathan Ames is an author of many, many different books, including I Pass Like Night, The Alcoholic, and I Love You More Than You Know. And he's also the creator of the HBO series Bored to Death.
Oh, I didn't know that part. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's rad.
So that's what we got going on tonight. What about tomorrow, Gary?
Tomorrow we have a panel event, the virtual event for The Deadly Hours, another anthology. This one put together, I actually don't know. I was going to say Susanna Kearsley edited it, but I don't know if that's true. Featuring Susanna Kearsley, C.S. Harris, Annalee Huber, and Christine Trent. All four of them are going to be joining us for the panel tonight. Tomorrow night, the 16th at 7 o'clock. That should be very fun. We talked about this book a couple weeks ago. It came out at the beginning of September. But it sounds great, and I'm glad we got, like, the four title authors. I think this will be a really fun panel. I'm excited to enjoy this one. We're also doing a special giveaway where if you pre-order it, you get an exclusive poster and a book plate signed by all four of the authors.
That is so cool.
Which, like, is rad. I don't even know how they're managing to do like book plates signed by everybody in the middle of a pandemic, but I assume
I don't
just,
know
like,
because
mailing them around.
From personal experience of having to get multiple authors to sign a book plate for an event in the same room, it is quite a feat.
Yeah, let me tell. So they're just signed. I'm pretty sure we're not doing personalizations because there's four authors that all need to sign this thing. But if you pre-order, I don't know. Actually, this sounds, if I don't want to say it's a pre-order bonus because this this book already came out. I'm pretty sure we still have posters available and book plates available. So just like make a note when you order your book. We typically do for all of our events, signed books, book plates, whatever, for a week out after the event happens. So just if you haven't already ordered this book and you want to get the poster and the book plate, make sure you make a note in your order comment so whichever bookseller is processing your order gets you down for those exclusives.
And I will just say, as somebody that has done our pre-order thing and had the book plate as part of it, the book plate comes later. It came in an envelope addressed to me from the Sirius Galaxy see.
So we have been trying also for the, at least for the orders that I've processed, to make sure that people know in that email. So when we finalize your order, you'll get an email that says like your status has been changed to completed shipped or shipping after sign or whatever. And I usually include in that email, like, hey, your book plate is going to be sent separately, probably a couple of weeks after this event, because those books come out and we get them from the publisher, but the actual like signed stuff comes later. Especially yes. because like this signing event is happening like 2 weeks after the book came out. And it's going to take us a while to get all four authors to sign your book plate.
Yeah, it's going to do a lot of rounds in the United States Postal.
Yeah. So circle. Like we'll get those as quickly as possible to folks who buy those books, but like just be aware that there's always going to be a delay when you want something signed during the time of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
tomorrow? The day after tomorrow.
Yeah, on Thursday at 7 p.m., I'm very excited about this event. It is Cami Garcia and Gabriel Piccolo in conversation with the one, the only, Jonathan Mayberry.
This is like the third thing he's done in 2 weeks, which is great.
Yeah.
I love Jonathan. He's great.
If the bill sounds familiar to you, it's probably because you remember when Cami and Gabriel worked on the Raven comic together.
Oh, that
is
okay.
The next in series.
Fantastic.
Are
they gonna do like Starfire and Cyborg? I want them, please.
I don't know, Gary, shut up and I'll tell you. I was gonna say, I don't know if they're actually like in the same like content. I don't know if they are attached.
I hope so.
I would assume so, because
I don't need them to be directly attached, but I would hope that they're like in the same, maybe they'll do all four and then do a Teen Titans comic.
Well, what I was gonna say is that Gabriel has gotten a lot of traction for his work where he does pieces of the individual characters and then brings them together and sort of, he tells a story through the art very slowly over time.
I love that.
Yeah. And it looks like if you pre-order,
yeah.
We're doing a special giveaway where you get a keychain and a poster when you get the signed or personalized book plate. So make sure to go get that in and let them know in the order comments if you want it personalized or just signed.
Yeah, totally. Is great. Our next event is on Saturday. This one's in the middle of the afternoon, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Joe Abercrombie is going to be in conversation with Matt Berger, one of our owners, who's been on this podcast, which I'm very excited. I talked to Constance, our events coordinator, quite a bit about doing this one, but my current computer situation means that I don't have a webcam. So, I haven't read this. He's talking about his new book, The Trouble with Peace, which is the sequel to A Little Hatred, which came out last year, I think, in hardcover, and this year in paperback. And these books are in the same continuity as the series of his that I did read, the First Law trilogy, which I loved. I am a huge fan of big epic fantasy, but the thing that Joe Abercrombie does so well is that all of his characters are like, God, miserable, not miserable, are like these are characters.
It was such a dramatic pause that you were like,
I was miserable. Trying to think of the right word. Miserable is maybe the right word. The two characters that stand out the most from that original series for me are Logan Ninefingers, he's from like a northern tribe. They're known as like the barbarians. They're like Viking types. He's missing a finger. That's why he's nine fingers. But like, he's the guy who shows up on the battlefield and slaughters all his enemies. And he's known for being this big bad. And then there is Inquisitor Glatka, who is, he was captured in like an old war and tortured like mercilessly, and he survives and goes on to like become part of like the new empire government. And now he is, confessor's not the right word. He's an inquisitor. Like, his job is to torture people for information because he survived that. But he's like a disabled...
The cycle continues.
Yeah. He is a, like, very strong, but also... I think miserable's the right word for Glotka. Damaged, walks with a cane, like, has a really hard time. And this series takes place, like, further in the future, and the main character is, like, I think his daughter or his granddaughter, which sounds fascinating. They've also done, I think he also did a couple of other books that take place in the same universe that I haven't read yet. I did not read this one or Little Hatred, but very excited about this series.
Yeah.
It's one that's been on my list for a while. I really, really liked the first Law trilogy. That is a series where I had a friend of mine tell me, like, you need to read these books. And I got, like, partway through book two and was like, hey, I still don't know who the bad guy in this series is. And my friend was like, I'm done and I don't know who the bad guy in the series is. Which is great. Like, I think you can't have a more accurate sort of depiction of a fantasy world because, like, anytime war happens, everyone is kind of in the wrong.
Yeah.
Regardless of your motives, like, the act of being willing to put someone else to the blade is a detrimental thing. And like we say all the time, like, history is written by the victor, right? So if you view it as it happens and then look at, like, what the outcome is, like, yeah, maybe things are better now, but does that make what we did okay? And I think Joe Abercrombie, like, wrestles with that in a way that I haven't seen in a lot of fantasy. And so I'm very excited about this event. I'm very excited about this book.
I have to tell you, sometimes when I'm silent for a long time while you're, like, talking about it, I'm literally sitting here nodding, like, you can see me, like, nodding and actively listening.
That makes me really happy, because sometimes when I'm talking, I'm just, like, going and just, like, I don't know where I don't know where this is going to end.
No, I think it's really great. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, yeah, yeah, but I don't want to, like, interrupt. So I'm just nodding my head and then I'm like, wait.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
The last event that we have to talk about is on Monday. So next Monday,
yeah,
on
next
the 21st, at 7 p.m., we have August Norman in conversation with Glenn Eric Hamilton, discussing his book, Sins of the Mother.
Usually
this is where I would talk about the book. I will say that in the order comment section, you can get the book signed and personalized. So do that if you want to. But what
I apologize. I didn't mention if that is the case for our Joe Abercrombie event. I'm pretty sure we're doing signed book plates, but I don't know if that's true.
Damn it, Gary. Come on.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. You were on a roll.
It's
my computer's being slow as hell.
It's great. You can get it signed or personalized for the Joe Abercrombie book.
Fantastic. Okay, good. Good, because I already closed the window.
Yeah, I could hear you frantically clicking.
Yeah. Thank you, Becca. You're the best. Okay, go on. Please, go on.
Aside from being a lover and champion of crime fiction, yes, August Norman is also a founding member and regular performer with LA's longest running improv comedy show, Opening Night, the improvised musical, which I have seen before, and it is very good. So I just wanted to say, yeah. And then Glenn Eric Hamilton, he has been nominated for an Edgar.
Yeah.
And a Nero Award.
He's super prolific, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's, again, like, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'm always super excited when we have, like, a veteran of the genre featuring a new author because
Brian, I think it's such a nice welcoming, like a very like positive, like, I'm excited to have you here and see what you have to say.
Yeah, because Sins of the Mother, August's new book, is a sequel to Come and Get Me, which came out, I think, a year or two ago. Released in 2019 in April, so like a year and a half ago. Yeah. And it's just really nice to have someone like Glenn come in and be like, hey, I've been doing this for a really long time, and like, you're great!
Oh, also, I just gotta give August one more shout out because we are both from the Midwest and found ourselves in California doing stuff that we like, not hanging out with corn.
Fantastic.
I think so.
I agree with you.
All right. So I only have one book left. So if you want to tell us about your first new book.
Yeah, I have three. I don't know how many we want to talk about, but let me give a very brief shout out in that case to Sleep in a Sea of Stars by Christopher Paolini. Of course, folks probably know him from his Aragon series when he was like 19. I think the first book came out when he was 19 years old. I was
absolutely right.
When I was a kid, my understanding of Aragon was that he began writing that book as a 15-year-old and published it when he was 19. And then he did three more in the
series. I feel
like
we've talked about this in one of the full-length episodes.
We probably did.
We must have.
We must have. I must have talked about this because this was the book that made me go, hey, I could be a writer. Like, previous to this, it was like, hey, wouldn't this be a cool thing to do? People write stories for a living. But when Aragon came out and I fell in love with this book, I was like, oh, he's actually not that much older than me. Like, I could also do this, which really, like, pushed me into the world of, like, literature and, like, bookselling and just, like, being a fan of fantasy in a real way. And so it's super exciting to see after all these years, right? Like, Inheritance came out, God, more than a decade ago?
Yeah.
And we're having his first new book in a long time, and it's a new genre. He's writing in sci-fi instead of fantasy.
Yeah, I feel like sci-fi and fantasy are just like,
they're so closely linked.
Close siblings.
We put them in the same section. We put them in the same section, which I think is weird, but also makes sense at the same time. Right? Yeah. They're like far Earth stories.
I just like
most other fiction takes place on planet Earth. Fantasy and sci-fi are willing to be like, we're going somewhere else.
Yeah, like for instance, some of the more like specific subgenres of this new book are like a space opera and aliens. And
yes.
I mean, I think that like aliens are definitely a fantasy thing. It's just that because it's in space, it's sci-fi fantasy.
Exactly. So just like a brief, it says, during a routine survey mission on an uncolonized planet, Kira finds an alien relic. At first, she's delighted, but elation turns to terror as the ancient dust around her begins to move. As war erupts among the stars, Kira is launched into a galaxy-spanning odyssey of discovery and transformation. First contact isn't at all what she imagined, and events push her to the very limits of what it means to be human. Yes! Give me like, transhumanistic, like, what does it mean to be a person? I am so
God, I
into
wish
this.
I knew.
I'm currently playing. I found out that Near Andromeda is on Xbox, which is about like androids and machines fighting after humanity and alien civilization has been wiped out. And it is great. And it's the same thing. It's wrestling with these concepts of like, what does human mean? What is being a person?
Too like, deep, too philosophical God. For me.
No, I love it. Give me all the philosophy.
I'm more concerned with what it means to be like a frog, because I would like to be that.
A frog would be nice.
Yeah.
I have two more. Do you want me to do another one, or do you want to do one first?
I will do mine because I want to talk with you about the about Grown.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Great. All right.
Awesome. So the last book that I want to talk about, because we have a new segment coming after these.
Yeah.
I want to talk about No Place for Monsters by Corey Merritt.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a comic. It's sort of, you know, like supernatural, horror, mythological, action, suspense. It's about a small neighborhood. It's a suburban town called Cowslip Grove. Everything is super pristine, perfect. Mm. Nothing ever seems out of place. No hair, you know, no grass blade moved the wrong direction. But then kids start disappearing, which I was very like, ooh, that's very like it.
Yeah.
I love that. I love it when like kids start like disappearing in horror and like everyone's just like, this is fine.
Nothing's weird. Nothing that weird is happening. Kids disappear sometimes. It's not a big deal.
And this forces two kids that aren't necessarily super similar, Levi and Kat, to work together to discover what is going on the dark side of their neighborhood, because it seems like nobody else remembers these kids after they go missing except for them.
That's fascinating.
And like, okay, so like when you look at the cover, the like creature, the like monster guy, whatever, that's like hovering over them on the cover, just gives me like, I don't know if you watched any of the Nosferatu series based on the Joe Hill comic.
I did not watch it, but I know of it.
So, God, what is his name? I'm Zachary Quinto?
Quinto? From Heroes.
Zachary
Quinto. And he was also Spock.
Yes. So he plays Nosferatu in the series. And when he's like more... when he becomes more monster-esque, like, he looks like that.
Amazing!
And very, very spooky, so
I love him, excited. He's so good. Okay.
I don't know if this is true, but I saw for a period of time that people were saying that him and John Groff were dating, and I love John Groff, like...
For people who don't know, isn't John Groff the guy who played the king in Hamilton?
I love that that's what people know him as now.
Like,
yes,
that's
a Broadway veteran. From
first, yeah. Well, so I'm not like a musical fan by nature. I had one of my exes got me very into Hamilton, and that is where like I discovered John Groff.
You know, he's also the lead in that Netflix series Mindhunter.
I've heard that, which I haven't watched yet. Is that good? Do you know if that's?
I really like it.
Okay,
I'll
watch it for him.
Oh yeah, he's super great. He was also on Glee. He was in the original Broadway version of Spring Awakening. He sounds like an angel, and I love him.
Yeah, he does.
He's very beautiful.
Yeah, he does.
And he's very good at playing straight characters, like hauntingly good at it.
It's impressive.
All right. You want to talk about Lionhearts?
Yeah, give me a second. My mic has been being weird, and I've been afraid to touch it because I didn't want to, like, lose you. So let me do that real quick, and I'll start
the
next one. You'll
never lose me, Gary.
The next one on my list is Lionhearts, which is the sequel to Nottingham by Nathan McCarrick. I don't know a whole ton. Like, it's a Robin Hood story.
I really thought you said Robin Hood instead of Robin Hood. Robin Hood. I was like very.
Nardo's the main character of this. Robin Hood. No, Robin Hood. This is the sequel to Nottingham, which came out a couple years ago. I know that Kelly, our story manager, loves this book so much. This one is, it says, all is well until King Richard returns, but King Richard has been captured. To raise the money for his ransom, every lord in England is raising taxes. The French are eyeing the empty throne, and the man they call Robin Hood, the man the sheriff claims is dead, is everywhere and nowhere at once. Which I'm excited about. I love Robin Hood stories. We talked about God, what was that Robin Hood book from a few months ago about his kids? Lockwood's Children or something.
Yeah.
It sounded great. So, like, I'm always excited for these. I really want to read Nottingham. I've been putting it off, but Kelly swears by it. So, very excited.
I trust Kelly.
I do, too. Kelly is such, like, a studious approach, in my opinion, to, like, the fiction she reads. And yet, I think that she has a really great judgment when it comes to, like, fiction and fantasy and stuff like this in particular when it comes to, like, historical story. I'm so sad that she didn't make our historical fiction episode, but...
It's okay.
We'll get her at some other point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my last one. That's out new this week, the sequel. So please order that through the link in the description below.
Well, it's not your last one.
It's not my last one.
Because we're both just briefly going to say I'm excited for Tiffany D. Jackson's book, Grown.
Yeah. Yeah. Very excited about this one. When I put our list together, was looking through the stuff that was coming out, and this was one that, like, definitely, like, stood out to me in a way that a lot of other ones didn't.
I think that the, like, most, like, shocking thing to me was all of the reviews as I was, like, dude, it just keeps going and going. Like, people are going nuts about this, and I'm very excited.
Same.
I think that it's great that it's a YA book and that it's dealing with these, like, harder topics, like, like racism and misogyny and rape culture and, like, the vulnerability and violence towards young Black women. Like, I think that it's really important to be telling younger kids about this, because you know that they're seeing the violence in the news.
Yeah, absolutely. So the description starts, it says, when legendary R&B artist Corey Fields spots Enchanted Jones at an Enchanted Jones is a great name. When Corey Fields spots Enchanted Jones at an audition, her dreams of being a famous singer take flight. Until Enchanted wakes up with blood on her hands and zero memory of the previous night. Who killed Corey Fields? And it's just like, hey, now she's wrapped up in this, like, murder scandal, even though she was just, like, an average person hoping to make big.
Yeah, the thing that, like, I think is so, one, the review that's at the top is from Danielle Clayton, who did The Bells, which is an excellent book.
Mm-hmm.
I really recommend it if you haven't read it. It's a big one, but it's worth it. I'm really excited because the review that she gives feels very different to me than the description I'm reading. So I'm very excited to see, like, because, like, everyone is saying that this is about, like, vulnerability of young Black women, rape culture, misogyny, but, like, I almost expected it was going to be, like, the woman that would be the one, like, murdered, not, like,
I love that she's the one who's wrapped up in this because we get to be, like, in her persona.
Yeah,
in
absolutely.
Her head as she's struggling through this situation where everyone automatically assumes she's the victim, because that's kind of how American culture has been.
Yeah, like, that's why I'm so, like, fascinated by it, because like, you get this, like, one, like, sort of, like, hair trigger response of, like, oh, well, it's gonna be like this. Like, it must
be. Oh, she did it.
Not even that, but, like, I, like, you know, because violence against women is so the status quo, you just automatically are like, okay, if it's about these topics, clearly it's going to be a book about violence against women. And, you know, potentially it still could be. Potentially it still could be. I think that it's great that it has so much, like, it almost, like, it's, like, forcing you to, like, pick it up and read it if you want to know what's going on.
Yeah. It's forcing you to wrestle with this sort of idea because, right, like, you're right. The default is the woman gets murdered and how do we track down the guy who did it? Whereas in this case, it definitely feels, at least, you know, I'm sure this is what the story is establishing, is, like, the woman is framed for this. Like,
so, I just want to read one of these many, many reviews because...
Yeah, go for it.
It's from Angie Thomas, who wrote The Hate U Give.
Yeah! We talked about that a lot when it came out. That was, like, recent.
Angie Thomas says, Tiffany D. Jackson has penned a riveting, powerful love story to Black girlhood and a haunting reminder of the ways in which their innocence is often stolen. Remarkable, aww, suspenseful, and gut-wrenching, Grown is a masterfully told story that says, story that stays with you long after you put it down.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good authors in here singing such high praise to this. Like, it's already in my cart. Like, I'm going to be getting this book.
That's rad. I definitely, absolutely want to read this one. And also, the cover is great!
Right?
The girl on this cover
looks tough as hell. Oh, I love that the, like, earring has the name of, like, Grown. I think that's so unique.
That's such a stylish way to do the title. Ugh.
And I think, again, it's like a love note to Black culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So the last little news segment that we have, I'm going to try to make it quick because it sounds like the landscaper is outside of my apartment blowing leaves around.
That's how it goes.
So if you follow us on social media, you probably have seen us talking about the Mysterious Galaxy Patreon that launched. I have been working on that with the store owners and Kelly for a couple months now. I'm the lead on the project, so it means a lot to me. And one of the new things that we're going to be doing on the podcast is giving shout outs and saying thank you to all of our new patrons. And let me just preface this by saying this one is going to be, I think, the longest, because yeah. I don't assume, I would love if every week we got 24 new patrons, but I don't realistically think that's going to happen.
Fair.
But I mean, if you haven't checked it out already, go check
please
it out.
Check it out. I'm going to include it in the episode description, so absolutely follow that link.
So, in the spirit of maintaining people's privacy, I'm going to be going through each tier to thank you by first name only. Just so you know, yeah. I'm not saying your first and last name on the internet.
That's fair.
That's your choice. So starting with our literary voyagers, the $3 a month tier. Thank you so much to Apinya, Rebecca, SK, Jane, Okay, so Jay is the last one. And then on our Sorcerer's Apprentice at $5 a month, my beautiful, amazing, kind, supportive partner, David, has joined us. Yes, I heard the gasp.
Yeah, for real, it's so fun. Like, there was a part of me that was like, is it weird if I pledge to our own Patreon?
You think it's weird? I almost pledged to it, and I was like, wait, I'm literally in charge of it.
Yeah, like, you already know all the stuff we're going to be getting because you're the one getting it.
Also, it, like, feeds back into paychecks, so...
Yeah, so, yeah, so...
At the $10 tier is the romantic interest. Thank you so much to Bright Lord, Mark, Paul, Aisha, Kara, Dahlia, Hannah, and Laura. I think the $10 is currently our biggest tier.
Yeah.
Followed closely by the 30. I'm super excited about
that. Wow.
At the $15 tier, we have the lead detectives. Thank you to Gloria and another Rebecca. I'm very excited by all these Rebeccas.
Look at all the Rebeccas. They're, I know, like, hey, let me join.
They're represent. Like, what does this other Rebecca have to say about it? At the $20 tier, the movie monster. Thank you so much to Jordan C. and Danielle. And then finally, at our $30 tier, we have Galactic Rebel Spies. Thank you, Christina M., Michael, Samadhi, Christopher, Jacob, and Patrick.
That's so fun.
Yeah, thank you all so much.
A lot of these folks are customers that are, like, regulars with us, whose names I recognize from, like, doing orders, or people that came into the store a lot. And so, it means so much. It means so much, you guys, that, like, you're willing to... like, contribute to the longevity of the store, especially while we're still, you know, closed for the better part of 2020. So, and
the exciting thing to me is, like, I know that I sound like I'm advertising here, but I mean this, like, I wanted so much of the, like, passion behind this project for me since day one has been creating that wonderful community space that we have in person.
Yes.
On an online platform. And I love that people that are part of our in-person community are joining, because they are literally what makes the in-person
They're the lifeblood of the
so
store.
Charming.
Like, they're the reason we do what we do, right? Like, our job as booksellers is connecting with you guys and being able to put books in your hands and being able to talk about the things that we're passionate about. And this just ensures that we're going to be able to continue to do that in a way that, like, we haven't been able to do before.
And I just, like, I cannot stress enough, like, how much this means to me. Like, I was so nervous when I was, you know, publishing the Patreon for final approval from the website.
Yeah.
I was just so scared that it was going to flop. And all of this positive response is so exciting. Like, thank you guys, not only for supporting the store, but, like, through that, supporting me in this project.
Yes. Yes. So this is the thing, right? Like, we've talked about for the last, like, month and a half about this secret project.
Every single time that we're like, every single time we're like, oh, well, Becca's gone because of a mystery.
It's all been this. It's all been this. Like, you've been putting so much time and effort into making sure that this could be, like, a reality. And I'm like, I feel like a goofball saying this, but, like, I'm so proud of you, Becca.
Stop it.
it just excites me a lot that, like, this is, like, a reality now. And
it is very exciting for me too. And yeah, guys, I definitely recommend joining, because I've already bullied Gary into hosting.
Yo, I was so proud of the Dreeks thing.
The what? Oh, that
fucking beverage thing. I know you were going somewhere else, I realized, but it was too late. I already started talking.
So not only have I bullied him into that, spoiler alert, but
spoiler alert,
Gary will also eventually be hosting one of our book club meetings. And,
I will be.
And question mark, a D&D session?
Ooh. Hey, I this is probably a discussion for off mic, but, like, what do you think about playing games that aren't D&D?
I think we should talk about it off mic.
Fair enough. And yes, so that'll be happening. We're also going to be having, of course, some, like, bonus podcast stuff that Becca and I have been discussing. So that'll probably happen, including maybe all the stuff at the beginning of this episode that I cut out that none of y'all are going to hear.
Yeah, we get really dumb.
It happens. It happens sometimes. And I think that those are good. Like, for people who just, like listening to us have discussions, I think that these discussions are still interesting, despite the fact that they're not on a particular podcast topic.
Yeah, why do you guys like listening to us? I'm not anywhere as charming as Georgia or Karen of My Favorite Murder. I could listen to them talk about absolutely nothing for the rest of my life.
Maybe people would be happy to listen to us talk about stuff.
Well, Gary, I want to be self-deprecating.
Well, I don't. Let's be pretentious jerks and be like, listen to us talk about, like, bullshit that has nothing to do with any of our podcast episodes.
Don't you like how I just bounce from, like, being like, you all are here to listen to me talk so quickly to, but nobody wants to hear that?
Well, yeah, no, I completely understand, which is why you have me to champion us.
Oh, that's why I have you.
Yeah, that's the real, I'm the cheerleader of the show.
I just thought that every podcast needed one person that wore glasses.
Fair.
Do you want to outro us, Gary?
Sure, I'll outro us. Thank you, everybody. Wait.
Uh-huh.
Before I do the actual outro thing, are you reading anything right now? What are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now?
We haven't done this. I keep forgetting to do this at the end of episodes lately.
No, I feel like we did it last time.
We probably did, but I skipped it. I definitely skipped it on the historical fiction episode. Because we had so many recommendations on that one already.
So I haven't cracked it open yet because I've been very busy learning about the 30 different dynasties of Egyptian art. But I picked up my copy of Chaos Rising, the new Thrawn book. As soon as I catch up on all of this, like, backlog of work that I have for school, I will be cracking that one open.
I bought the audiobook for that today. Nice. So I will start listening to that. And if you crack that open soon, we can talk about it next week.
Oh, man. I think I'll have to.
Hey! Do you think that maybe for Patreon we could do spoiler episodes of stuff we both read?
Ooh, yes.
Also, an off the mic conversation, but we might talk about Chaos Rising.
Maybe. Tell us what you think. Email John Hodgman on our behalf and tell him what to us on mic. And also tell us that you want to hear us talk about how hot Thrawn is.
God. Yeah. I even forgot to talk about this, but this Thursday, 2 days from today, we have an episode coming out in which we talk about time travel.
Oh.
And I have been so excited. I'm reading books. I'm watching movies and TV stuff. I am like,
you know, prepping. What I'm gonna watch in preparation?
What?
I'm gonna watch.
What? What are you gonna watch? What are you gonna watch in preparation?
I'm gonna watch The Time Traveler's Wife.
The Time Traveler's Wife is great. Have you watched About Time?
No.
You should watch that. Last I checked, it was on Netflix. I'm gonna watch that tonight. It's so fun. I love Domhnall Gleeson a lot, and Bill Nighy, and there is a lot of good time travel content out there, y'all. And I have so much to talk about. So, like, check out the podcast on Thursday for that. But when it comes to, like, what I've been reading lately, because we're doing this time travel episode, I am currently reading The Psychology of Time Travel by Kate Makarenhas. And I have gotten back into All Our Wrong Todays by Ellen Mastai, which I started reading way back in, like, April or May, and read the first, like, 2 chapters of, and then fell off of because quarantine. So I've gotten... Yeah, so this weekend I'm gonna, like, make a deep dive into both of those and, like, make some progress so that I have stuff to talk about on the podcast coming out this week. And then I'm just, like, finishing Memory of Souls, and I'm making some very slow progress on Bone Shard Daughter.
Nice.
Shard. And also Chaos Rising, of course. Like, I just downloaded that. So, like, of course I'm going to read the new Thrawn book. Who do you think I am?
I don't know. Who are you?
I don't know either. So, there we go.
More philosophy.
So that's what we're reading right now. Thank you, of course, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much to Austin Farmer for allowing us to use the track Killed the Farm Boy from his album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra. You can find that on Spotify or YouTube or whatever. Please go give him money. Austin deserves, like...
Give him your money. Give it to us and give it to him.
For real. Follow us on Patreon. What's our Patreon? Do you know our Patreon link off the top of your head?
It is patreon.com/ Miss Galaxy Books. MYST Galaxy Books.
So follow us on Patreon. Follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Myst Galaxy Books, MYST Galaxy Books. You can email us at podcast@mystgalaxybooks.com. You can email the general store at mgbooks@mistgalaxybooks.com. You can find any of the books that we talked about today listed in the description below. And you can find me, I guess, at the Gary Roby on Twitter. That's R-O-B-Y for Roby. Becca, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Becca Bean, B-E-E-A-N. On Instagram, there is an underscore at the end. On Twitter, there is not. And you can also find me on Etsy. My shop is Pop Culture Punk.
Nice. We just got paid, so I'm going to troll your Etsy today, probably.
And all I'm saying is we have some Blue Bear stickers left.
Yo, also, unrelated to the Blue Bear, well, I'm going to buy a Blue Bear sticker. I also want to, there's a Curb Stomp sticker.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah, my Curb Stomp. I don't have the stickers, but I have prints, but
I'm probably going to do that. And then, for Patreon, we're doing like a zombie thing, right? I just saw that today. Didn't I just see a sticker for Patreon?
It is that the sticker from the Black Lagoon.
Yes! Yes!
Not a zombie.
It's not a zombie. I apologize. And yet, he's reading a book that says, she's just not that into you.
I think this might be one of my favorite pieces of art that I've made all year.
I saw this today and was like, Becca!
Isn't it hilarious? It's also the art for our movie monster tier.
It's so good!
Thank you.
So good, Becca. The stuff you have done for the store this year has been top-notch. Everything is just out the park.
Yeah, every time that I get approval for, like, a very, like, calm thing, I've been slowly becoming more chaotic to the point where I'm just like, here's the creature of the Black Lagoon. Is he an incel? Maybe.
Who cares?
I love him.
We talked quite extensively with Jenny and Kylie, I think, about, like, unrequited love. And I'm happy to, like, do the strike through on incel for unrequited on characters that I am fond of.
Here's the thing. Snape, absolutely an incel in my opinion, but the creature of the Black Lagoon, he's not like resentful that this woman doesn't like him. He doesn't understand.
I have a hard problem with Snape, and it's mostly because I do a Harry Potter podcast and my co-host really likes Snape.
Are you kidding? When Jenny hears this episode, she's going to be like, what the hell did you say about Snape?
How dare you talk bad about this man, this sweet boy.
Sweet, gentle, has never
committed
a crime boy.
We could go into it about Snape, and I don't know that is necessarily required for this episode, and yet...
Should I make a Snape as an incel sticker for my store? Would you buy it?
I will be honest. I probably wouldn't, and only because I think I would really upset my Harry Potter co-host.
You don't have to tell them.
Yeah, but if I put it in... Well, here's the thing. My stickers end up on my Hydro Flask, which means Well... I don't know. If quarantine never ends, she'll never see it, so we're fine.
Oh, now I'm sad.
Come back next week. No, come back on Thursday for our time travel episode of A Galaxy Not So Far Away. Listen to me talk about all the different time travel stuff that I cannot stop obsessing over.
We'll see if we can get as heated as that episode that will never air.
One more time.
I said, let's see if we can get you as heated about time travel as we did on the episode.
You're right.
That will never air.
You're very right. You're very right. I'm legitimately more excited about this episode than I was about the Magic System episode, but we'll probably have to do a new Magic System episode at some point.
I'm scared.
I think I'll be better. I hope I'll be better. We'll see. Maybe we'll, it'll be like, we can wait. It can be next year. if we don't burn to the ground first. And we'll see you again soon in the galaxy not so far away.
Stop having gender reveal parties in the forest.
In the middle of the dry season of California, when it's 115 degrees outside, please stop. Just stop.
Is this our version of Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered? It's stop having gender reveal parties in the forest.
Stop having gender reveal parties, folks.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I am happy about that one, actually.
Oh, Gary, you're going to have to edit quite a bit of that out, I feel like.
We'll see. We'll see how it ends up. I am excited.
I feel like you definitely shouldn't share me calling Snape an incel. I don't want to get hate mail.
We're never going to get hate mail, Becca, unless we start hitting, like, tens of thousands of people.
You're right. You're right. I just got to get more controversial.
Oh, that's the thing. We get real controversial and then everyone listens. And then who cares? Like I don't want to call it a teeter-totter. What's it called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The children's toy, a seesaw. There's a seesaw effect, right?
teeter-totter.
Yeah, I don't know why teeter-totter was the word that came in my head. Of, like, I'm being really controversial versus people are listening to me. And, like, if that climbs, who cares? It's like there's a back and forth.
Yeah.
We say something that people don't like, a lot of people listen to us, then we say stuff people do like, and then more people listen to us, and we just, like, climb those steps.
I absolutely agree.
That's ridiculous. I just made that up right now. I don't know if that's how things actually work, but...
Yeah, I don't agree at all. I just said that.
I appreciate that.